Hi, I'm Amanda Pacheco.
This is Sheila.
Hello, it's Davida.
I'm Gina Lovato.
Hey, it's Alana Dunn.
I'm Caitlin Bailey.
This is Melissa Novak.
It's Sean Jacobson.
Hey, it's Bethany Nicole. And welcome to Sex Party.
And welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Sex Party with your host, Dustin Rybka.
Hello and welcome to Sex Party. I'm your host, Dustin Rybka. With me on the show this week is Allie McDonald. This is Allie's third appearance on the show. She's been on the show twice before. It's been about a year. Last time she was on the show, she's a bit frustrated with her own personal dating life and the dating apps. She was going back and forth with an ex. This time Allie is engaged to be married. So what happened? How did it happen? What can we all learn about dating from her experience? We talk a lot about confidence, how if you don't have confidence, how you could have confidence. We talk about the importance of confidence in dating and relationships. And we also chat a lot about what you really, truly, tangibly need to feel good enough about yourself to date. It is an awesome episode. There's a ton of value here. We have a ton of fun. Allie is a friend of the show. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Allie McDonald.
This week's conversation.
Allie McDonald, welcome back to Sex Party. I think the log book in my brain is telling me that this is your third appearance. Yeah. I think that tracks. How are you doing? It's been a while.
It's been good. I know. I think it's been a year or so since I've been on. I think it was last January, actually, and life has changed so much in the last year, but in all the good ways.
Yeah, no. One of the reasons I wanted to have you back, because I think if people go back and watch your first appearance, your second appearance, then this, the trilogy really kind of, it kind of comes to a nice arc, and we'll get to that. So for the newbies, some of the people that may have joined the show this year, they haven't met you yet, right? Mm-hmm. They've never heard your voice, seen your face. They don't know what you do. Can we take a minute and have you talk about who you are, what you do, and just bring these lovely party-going psychopaths up to speed?
Yes. So I'm Allie. I'm a dating confidence coach and primarily help women, but I work with men as well to obviously build up confidence when it comes to dating. I do a lot of mindset work around self-worth, healing different things from our past, whether it is child trauma or different things that have happened in past relationships, situationships, etc., to get you where you need to be to find that relationship and, you know, a healthy partner. But more than anything, to finally love yourself and just, yeah, heal this shit that you've been through.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, and we talk about things like that a lot on the show, and you and I have talked about it, but it just seems like there's always, even if you don't think you have trauma, you have some sort of trauma, right? And so just here at the beginning, like, because you're someone who's smart, you're someone who's like doing, the thing about you is that you do most of this stuff yourself. And again, if they go back and watch the previous two, they will have seen your struggles with dating. They will have seen your struggles with some self stuff and just how you had to work through that. And maybe even that you were a little sick of it, right? Like you had these rules, which were really cool. I think in the last episode that there were self-imposed rules that you weren't going to let someone stay over unless they were in a relationship. You weren't going to watch a movie unless like whatever. But then you even admitted like, hey, I break these rules sometimes, which I think is incredibly human, and who wouldn't want that in a coach? But, you know, a lot of those rules had to be put in place from trauma. So like, what would be step one if someone's like, I'm ready to date, you know, there's sort of like like sort of a check engine light that should be coming on? Or what if someone just doesn't think they have trauma? What do they do?
Ooh, yeah, I get what you're saying, that everybody on some level probably has trauma, but I think we all have different definitions of it. Some people don't have, you know, anything super crazy they went through. Maybe you didn't have any like abuse or whatever, but there are little things that have impacted you in the way you view yourself and the way you view dating, the way you view sex, the way you view relationships. And so it's really going to be helpful to look at your patterns, because I notice a lot of people that I work with have a typical pattern. I know mine, while I was single until I, you know, did the work and stuff, was dating mentally and emotionally unstable men who were really good to me, but weren't ready for relationships. Some people always date the guys who cheat or the guys who only want to hook up. Sometimes they, you know, always date people who, I don't know, there's always some kind of pattern. And so if you acknowledge what is your pattern, how am I the common denominator in this, then we can kind of break down what has brought you to that place and why you continue a pattern that's not getting you the result that you want.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because as listeners, viewers of the show will know, and I'm sure you and I have talked about it before I was in the relationship I'm in now, which is amazing and great, and I'm super grateful for that. But it took a lot of twists and turns to get here, right? Mm-hmm. I had my type of woman that I kept attracting was the common denominator with them was that they were all taken. Mm-hmm. They would have a husband, they'd have a boyfriend. They were like coming to me to like have a little fuck around, right? And then maybe go back to the guy, get it out of their system, or maybe use me to break up with the guy or whatever. And this went on for years, right? And at one point, you know, I looked around and 80-90% of the women I was texting with, communicating with, it was all taken women, right? And I couldn't, at the time I was seeing a therapist, and even she like struggled, right? Like, because my question was, what am I doing to attract women that are taken, right? What is it? That was the one thing is, for me, the turn on was like, them coming to me, right? And so I wouldn't deny it. I would allow it to happen, but I would never go into a relationship and try to take someone out of it, right? I would never try and like get people to cheat. So in your professional opinion, right, if someone has number one, before we get to what that even could possibly be, but how is it that I'm a magnet, or this, or, you know, people are magnets for a certain type of person if they're not advertising it? Like, how does that psychologically work?
Because we have subconscious things, unconscious things that are driving us. Like, I would say for yours in that situation, because you're not the only one, obviously, a lot of people have that pattern where it's always people who are taken. First two things that come to my mind is that you were emotionally unavailable and afraid of commitment. And so what better way to avoid commitment, but like get a little taste of the benefits of dating or a relationship than to date people who cannot commit to you or who are not available to communicate to you, right? And then the other part is, I imagine would be like it makes us feel more desirable. I'll put it that way. That if I can get that girl who's married, if I can get that girl who's with that guy to choose me, even if it's just for sex or even if it's just for, you know, some texting or whatever, like I must really be valuable. So the subconscious belief there might be that I don't know, I'm not worthy of being chosen, or maybe I'm not good enough, or people, I don't know, wouldn't love me, whatever the thing might be. There's a lot of different like branches of that. But that negative belief about ourselves, whatever that might be, is what drives the conscious decisions, where it looks like to somebody on the outside, like, oh, this guy's just an asshole. He just wants all the taken women. Yeah, but why? It's not just that a guy is an asshole to be an asshole. No, you were doing it because there was something deeper going on. And so those are the things that drive us. And until we uncover what those are and what the root of them was, where did that start? You know, why are we using that as kind of like a protective mechanism, I guess, then the pattern will just continue.
Well, you know, and I said at that time I was seeing a therapist and she was like, well, it's happening just because you're available to it. And I'm like, that's bullshit, because I'm also available to like date millionaire fucking whatever, and that's not happening. And so she's like, but that was her sort of reasoning, and I never bought into that. I thought, I must be, even though I'm like, no, you have a husband, I'm good. And that would just make them want me more, right? I must have been doing something subconsciously, right? Where I was, yes, available to it, but I was also like maybe more than available to it or whatever. I was putting myself in positions to talk to those people. But I don't know. I mean, that's always puzzled me, but it's it is interesting, the levels of trauma. Like, as you said, oh, it doesn't all come from like your dad beating the shit out of you or someone, whatever. It comes from relationship stuff. So if we're still using me as an example, sorry, everyone. Or let's say, you know, you, right? You said that you for a while were the reverse. You were sort of like going and finding men who were not available. It's exactly what I was doing. So how is someone subconsciously doing that? And why? Why would a woman who wants a relationship, why would she only date dudes? Besides the fact that, like, I will say on my end, like the sex and even just like the digital sex was like way raunchier and like way hotter when it's someone who's taken. But anyway, why would someone, just being honest as usual, yikes. Why would a woman just keep selecting men who she knows in her gut from the beginning, they are not going to get in a relationship? Why would someone keep doing that?
Well, I can speak for myself, but also a lot of clients that I've worked with that have, you know, made similar decisions. One part is when you're available for it. So I agree with your therapist on a level, but I think there's just more than that. I was available for it. But for me, I think a lot of it was not believing anything more was possible. And so when we limit ourselves, if you only think, somebody's going to want to stick around for 2 months, you're probably subconsciously going to pick people who are going to stick around for 2 months because there are signs. And I could tell you that because when I was on dating apps over the years, when I started changing my mentality about what I wanted and what I was willing to accept, I'm like, oh, I would have totally normally swiped on that guy because I thought he was hot and like his bio was funny. But it's so clear now from this mindset that he's not ready for a relationship because of the way he even built his profile. So I'm not even going to swipe on him. So it's a lot of the things that you're willing to accept from like day one. But at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, why am I even willing to accept that in the first place? And for me, it was like, I liked, being a helper, a nurturer. And I found value in kind of like being the hero, being the savior. And I thought that if somebody needed me, they wouldn't leave me. And so I would date these guys who were really nice to me, who thought very highly of me, who, you know, treated me really well. But they had their own mental and emotional, financial instabilities. And because of that, men can't give a relationship when they don't feel good about who they are, where they're at in life. Like women are a little bit easier to kind of like juggle different things. We just have different brains where a woman could be building her career. Maybe she's in school. Maybe she's, you know, dealing with some family shit and she can date seriously. Men, not usually. They're very one track minded. If I don't feel good about where I'm at, I can't give to you, but I would choose people who were in that state of mind because I thought it was all subconscious. But if I have a man who's like mentally, emotionally, financially stable, he's not going to find value in me. He's not going to need me. Therefore, he's going to leave. I found it was the opposite, you know, after years it was like a year and a half, couple years, but like going through.
Surprise.
Right? Like, you know what? Maybe I'm the common denominator here. I'm choosing them. But I know too, it was that I deep down didn't feel worthy of somebody who like had it all together because I had my own worthiness issues. Most of the time, we don't even know that we're dealing with worthiness stuff. Because if you would have asked me at the time, I was probably like 26, I'd be like, no, of course I'm great. Like I could consciously and out loud tell you why I was great, why I was a good catch, why somebody should choose me. But deep down, there were a lot of parts of myself that I had not yet learned to love. So when we don't love ourselves at the highest level, we can't accept love from somebody else there. We can only meet people where we've met ourselves. And so if you notice that you're not choosing people who can choose you, maybe you don't date nice people. Maybe you don't date people who can commit. Maybe you don't, like whatever it might be, ask yourself, wow, how am I actually viewing myself? Because if you don't believe you can be loved at like a level 10, then you're not going to ever find level 10 because you're going to stop when level 5 comes your way.
Okay. So this sort of unearths a big dating thing. And this happened to me. I can speak from personal experience, but like, why is it that self-loathing? Like I suck. I'm not worthy of a real true love, a good partnership, a good relationship. Why do I believe that none of that is for me? And why does heartbreak and self-loathing then feel so good to fall into? Because it's like, oh, okay, like I deserve to be lonely and James Dean and like, you know, all of those things, right? Because I found that after a lot of, you know, heartbreak or sort of like, oh, that didn't work out, or this person turned out to be a psycho, she, you know, tried to start a fire at after hours or whatever the thing is, you're like, that's not going to work, right? And like, I found myself going through this thing, and I know other people do too, but I'll just speak for myself, where it was like, this feels good to be dark and self-loathing, and it feels good to be heartbroken. I guess I'm just not meant for anybody. We fall into that and it feels nice. Why? Is that trauma?
That's a really good question. I've never thought about that before. I think part of it is definitely trauma, especially if you haven't experienced healthy love, or maybe especially, you know, a lot of stuff comes back to parents. People, you know, think it's so cliche, because it is, but it's very true, that we accept the love that we are most accustomed to, because that's where we're most comfortable in. And so, especially if that's kind of how you were raised, how your parents gave you love was like either ignoring you or a lot of like pity, then of course we're going to feel most comfortable giving that to ourselves. But I do think there's like a comfort in self-pity, and a lot of people confuse it for self-love. Also, there's a lot of attention that comes from that. Even if you're not like posting it online, like, I'm a sad boy, I'm a sad girl, give me attention. Like, you might get more attention from your friends. You might get extra validation because you're telling them, oh, I'm going to be alone forever. Well, now you have people in your life saying, no, you're not. You're a great catch. You're such a cool guy, and you're this and that. And so people unconsciously are feeding into it, and we're unconsciously asking for it. So I think there's a lot of places it can be coming from, but then it becomes a habit. That's the other part. It's like a lot of people don't know another way to be. If you've always been like this, or you've been like this for the last couple of years, and then it's being reinforced by the people around you unintentionally. Now we're sure. Reinforcing it in ourselves, and we've never met a healthy mindset version of us. And There's a difference between self-love and self-pity. I was at an event a couple months ago, and this one woman said something that stood out for me so much. We just did like a group meditation, and she comes out of it and she was like, I just realized like I really love myself, and not like, oh, poor me, like you've been through so much, like you deserve love. She's like, no, but I'm badass. Like I love myself. And it was such an interesting breakthrough to watch somebody have, because a lot of the time self-love does come from self-pity. Oh, you know, you've had such a hard life, or people have screwed you over, you poor thing, let me give you hugs. Like, no, what if we flip that narrative to something like very empowering, you know? And I feel like, yeah, there's a habit there where people just never experience that. So they don't even know it's an option.
Well, first of all, if someone is going on Facebook, or I see it mostly on Facebook, but on Instagram too, and it's like, I guess I'm not meant for anyone, like in the big block letters or whatever, like I'm snoozing that person, because I don't want to stop it. I don't want to see that. You know what I mean? Like, get out of here, first of all. But you're right. It is sort of this, not cry for help, but cry for attention a bit. So, you know, they get both the, oh, you'll find someone, you're gorgeous, right? Or they get like the, oh, I'm so sorry, sweetie, like men are asshole, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So they get that validation on both levels. But like, I don't want to see that. I snooze the guy who's like, I have the sniffles again today. When I'm bi, like, I don't, just shut up. You know, I hate people who complain anyway. Yeah. But I think there's a couple different tracks here that I definitely want to push in on. One, you said that woman had a realization where she's like, oh, God damn, like I am deserving of this, and like I am badass and whatever. And I think that realization, when you realize that you're not perfect, but you're pretty fucking great, as soon as you have that, it's not just like your dating life that changes, mm-hmm. but you like, and I know like you're big with like manifesting and those kind of things too. And maybe this plays into that. I don't know. I'm just a fucking podcast host. Right. But I think that there's something to it, because when you actually, it's almost like this light bulb goes like turn clicks on, where you're kind of like, oh shit, like I've been not eating great sushi. Let's upgrade that. I've been like dating shitty fucking women and dudes. Like, let's upgrade that. But it's also, you start carrying yourself way differently and your whole life kind of illuminates a bit. Like, why do you think that's just because of how you're kind of piloting your own ship, or like, and is manifestation, is that what that is? And like, can you talk about that a little bit? Cause it's a pretty powerful thing.
Yeah. I think manifestation, like, and like the energetics behind it plays a big role, that whatever we put out, we're attracting more of, for sure. But just to stay on like a more like logical level, like there's a lot of psychology behind this. Like, if I don't think I'm great, I'm not going to treat myself like I'm great. So I'm not like, just to, for like a simple example, if I don't think that I'm a great person and I don't treat myself that way, I'm probably not going to go to the gym, because what's the point? What's the point? You know, and now I'm not going to the gym. So now I'm not as healthy, and now I'm not as confident, and maybe now I don't look as good. And so my body image goes down, and because my body image goes down, now I slap my shoulders more when I'm out in public. And now my, you know, I don't like speak with as much confidence, my tone changes, and therefore I don't meet as many people when I'm out, and I'm not as like energetically attractive to people because I make less eye contact. But like, you see how it all like cycles together. Like, it's a domino effect. And so when you have that breakthrough that maybe I am great, I don't have to be perfect, but like, I'm a pretty fucking cool person. Now I might treat myself different. No, not mine. I'm going to treat myself different. Mm-hmm. I might be like, you know what? I'm going to go to the gym, or I am going to, like, I deserve to go, like you said, buy the nice sushi. And because I buy a nice sushi, I'm like, oh, like, I'm somebody who buys nice sushi. Like, what else is that going to change? Now, maybe I'm going to like call that friend, because I don't think I'm annoying her anymore. Because when I didn't love myself, I just thought I was annoying everybody. But now I realize my friends love me. So I'm going to call my friend. Now I'm going to have more social interactions. And now I'm going to be able to go out and, like, I don't do more things on the weekends. And so that makes me happier by default. Like, everything is connected. And I'm a big, big, big believer in like faking it till you make it. And people, I think, can get really like resistant to that idea because nobody wants to be fake. But don't look at it as fake. Look at it as embodying the person you want to become. If you say you want to be somebody who loves themselves and is like really confident, has like a great dating life, okay, what would they be doing that you're not doing right now? And even if that means that you just change the way you speak, if it's changing the way you dress, if it's getting out of the house more, if it's like whatever, it could be so many different things. Watch how much your life is going to change. Like, that's literally how I manifested the life I have now. And I'm very fucking happy in every area of my life right now, which is so cool to say. It's so cool to feel.
Yeah.
And I did it by working backwards. You reverse engineer it. Who do I want to become? Okay, great. What's step one? How do I embody that person now? And then one day you look around and you're like, oh shit, that's me now. That's my life. So cool.
Yeah, no, and we're going to get to that in a hot minute. But yeah, I mean, once you kick the fucking gas station sushi, like, the glow up is fucking real. Yeah. Like, you start treating yourself better. And we're just using that as like a analogy or a metaphor, whatever it may be. I always get those confused. But it is a thing. Like, once you boot, you know, these activities that you're doing that maybe aren't great, or like, you just snap into that mindset that like, fuck, this is not for me. Like, there is all of these other things and I am deserving of those. Mm-hmm. It's such a game changer. So, you know, and I'm asking you, and also like, you can draw from your clients' perspectives and experience, but these are not easy things to do. First of all, to come to that cliffside, right, and chuck the gas station sushi over and be like, we're done, you know. Once you start buying, you know, better sushi, it is 10 times more expensive, right? There is a level of maintenance to a glow up, right? You want to keep doing the things, you don't want to backslide. Once you realize, hey, I am allowing or picking partners that just like come and go, like literally we bang and they leave, right? Do you have, or have you had the glow up manifested something better and then backslid and like, you know, adopted old behaviors or whatever. Because I think, I feel like I see that a lot because it is not, it is an exercise. You do have to keep going to the gym. You do have to keep, you know, not answering your ex's, what you do in text at 3 a.m. It's hard, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think especially when it comes to exes, that's when most people backslide because it's, I mean, it's the easiest to do it then. So I feel like if we put too much emphasis on the backslide or on the mistakes or the hiccups or whatever, then we'll attach to them too much. And then that'll just bring you back down the rabbit hole. And so you kind of just got to look at those moments as like, oh, I was just being human. That's how I like to look at it. Like whenever I had one of those moments where I'm like, ah, I wish I didn't make the decision. I wish I, you know, didn't text that guy back, or I wish I don't know, didn't whatever the hell it was. Like, okay, I can either focus on that and make it mean something and now beat myself up and think I suck, or I could just be like, okay, let's move on. And that's a choice everybody makes, but most people want to attach to those things too much. Like I think too often people take life and themselves and everything too seriously. Like what if you can just like let it be simple? What if it was like, oh, that was a mistake, that was a moment of weakness, I wasn't feeling my best that night, and so my ex texted me and I did go to his place and have sex, and now I kind of wish I didn't, but in the moment that's what I wanted to do, no big deal, I'm just not going to do that again because I know how it feels to regret it or whatever. Okay, let it be simple and move on. Like people, I think too many people suck at resiliency. Like that's what a lot of this comes down to. It's like, we got to learn how to bounce back. We don't need to make everything this big, sad fucking, like I suck and the world is over. Like get over it, move on, and just like, yeah, just forgive yourself.
Well, yeah. And I think what I always say to someone like, oh, I fucked up, I'm moving backwards, like, listen, you will never move backwards. You may have gone like off the path into the grass for a minute, had a little picnic that was, you know, not great, but like you're still on the path. Just step back this way. Yeah. The only way you're going backwards is if you're like dying, right? Or if you permanently, even if you permanently adopt, you know, bad habits, you can still kick them. There is no, to me, I just don't feel like there is any going backwards. As long as you're having the thought that this sucks, I don't like it, you're still moving forward and you can take little breaks and shit. I mean, you're right. I love that you said that with the ex because, you know, we are human. We do get horny. Exes are sort of like a you know, a filler space if you don't want to add another body or whatever the fuck, you know. Women are really big on body count. I don't, who cares? Like, whatever. But, I think that is probably, you're right, the easiest one, right, is the ex. It's like, hey, what are you doing? And you've had like, you know, too many fucking snake oil shots or whatever at the bar. And you're like, all right, I'll come over. All right, you motherfucker, right? But it doesn't mean that you have to keep doing it. So I love that you said that. Speaking of dating and you and situations you've been in, I know from the last two episodes, like, you know, not only are you a dating coach, but like, again, like you've lived this shit. That's why I love having you on the show. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe it's been a year since you've been on. What the fuck am I thinking?
Yeah.
But so much has changed for you over that year, right? And we did hear in the first two episodes, and I'll bring them up to speed. Don't go watch them now, guys. Stay here. Then go watch the other two with Allie. But I think, you know, you talked about struggling. You talked about like wanting to hook up with someone and like having that inner voice, like, don't do this, don't do it. And like you actually, you know, said like, hey, I make mistakes too. I set these rules for myself. Like no dudes coming over unless there's a fucking relationship. And you have broken those, right? Cause you're a human. But right, I think the last episode there was like this entanglement with like an ex guy that you were with for like 2-3 months. And like, we talked about him and then he texted you like, were you talking about me? And it was one of these things where like, you really truly thought there was something to the relationship. And the dude just kind of turned out to be a bit of a dud in the dating arena. Not saying he's a dud in real life, but like, that's where we left you last. And I'm not even going to spoil what has happened, but do you want to bring people up to speed?
Yeah.
With where you're at with your dating life?
So I'm engaged now to somebody completely different. I know. I'm so happy. And I like to share the story of like the relationship and engagement by like making it super fucking relatable so people can see that if this is the outcome you want, like you are no different than me. The guy you were talking about, I do remember he was super sweet guy. We were dating for a few months, but he was just not totally emotionally available. He wasn't like dating anybody else. There was no problems, but he was just too afraid to commit. So I just cut it off. And that was only a couple months before I met my fiance. And it has been like literally everything I've ever dreamed of and more. And it only happened because I didn't let the people who thought I was being too picky get into my head and, you know, give up on that idea. And I think even the last time that we were doing this, we were talking about like hookups and stuff. Pretty sure I was like hooking up with an ex and I was just kind of like dating and whatever. And then just of maybe like a month or two after that, he and I went on our first date and my life has completely changed since.
Okay. You're not getting off that easy. First of all, first of all, congratulations. That is giant. And I can see it on your face. And if you're listening to this again, keep listening and then go see how happy she is on YouTube. It's very apparent, right? It's a totally different Allie than the last one that was on, which is so great, right? Amazing. I think what I really want to ask is, and what they really want to know, right, is walk us through how this happened. So you're hooking up with an ex, you're not happy, you're like, I'm kind of bummed, I don't know what I'm doing, dating. Maybe you said dating sucks in your head, which you would never say out loud, but like whatever, like there was definitely some frustration in the dating game with you last time. So how did you go from there to this gentleman who fucking literally put a ring on it? Was it a dating app? How'd you guys meet? Like, tell us everything.
So we met on Bumble. Okay. People are always like shocked by that. But yes, we met on a dating app. I think what the thing was is, yes, I was definitely tired of dating. I'm human too. Like I'm all about dating mindset and not, you know, being negative about it or whatever. But I always tell people like it's not fun. It is very exhausting. But I chose to let it be fun, even though like inside I was so over it. But I'm like, no, fuck this. I know my person's out there. I'm not giving up until I find that. And so I was actually enjoying dating, even though I was like exhausted from it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I was still like in a really good headspace with it. Like I was hooking up with my ex sometimes, but not from like a sad place or like a negative energy. It was more like a physiological desire.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay, this is like me while I'm waiting to find that person. Like it's, I didn't make it mean anything. It was no big deal. Just kind of like casual. And then I would go on dates and just, if it wasn't a hell no, I would say yes. And if I went on the date and it felt like a no, I would just not go out with him again. Like it was just very simple, I guess. And he and I matched in March. And it's funny because I almost didn't even swipe on him because guys suck at taking pictures. I will say that till the day I die. And I'm like, I don't know, like, we'll see. But I'm like, okay, a couple of them, you seem cute. Let's just be open-minded. Mm-hmm. Went on the date, one of the best dates of my life. We talked for 5 hours and just, yeah, he was really sweet. And I had the thought like, maybe this could be the person, but hey, who knows? I've thought it before. Like I wasn't set on it. I went on 3 different dates that weekend, a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He was my Saturday date. And earlier that week, I was like, you know, I've been putting so much energy into work and to family and friends. I haven't been putting as much energy into dating. I need to get back to walking the walk and not just, you know, teaching about it. And so I'm like, I'm manifesting 3 dates this weekend. And I did. And Saturday we went out. It was great. He was my favorite date of the weekend. And he just pursued me perfectly ever since and whatever. And I mean, it changes so quickly. And I think that's what people forget that, you know, just a few weeks before I was single and right. And I like, I didn't even know he existed. So life can change very, very quickly. But I think the biggest thing I want to emphasize is having the positive mindset along the way and not letting the shit that's not working out or what you've been through get in your head. Don't make a story about it. Don't make it mean anything about you. and like let it be enjoyable. Like, don't take first date seriously. If a first date doesn't work out for any reason, cool, move on. Like, get back on the apps or go meet people in person, whatever people do nowadays. I don't know. I just did apps. Like, let it be fun. Let it be fun, because that's going to be the energy you show up on every date with. Give everybody you go out with a clean slate instead of all guys suck. It's not going to work out anyways. No, you don't know that. Somebody, it's going to land. It's going to stick at some point. But you have to go in with every person you date with the energy of, this could be it. This could be my last first date ever. Let's see.
Yeah, no, that's huge. Okay, still, I'm going to put you through the ringer here. And one, how long did you guys chat on the dating app before the date? Like, before you guys met? Like, was it a couple of days? Was it a month?
I think it was a week. I think he said he intentionally waited 7 days to ask me out, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, 7 days. And where – and he obviously, like – took control and like planned the date and whatever. Where was this first date?
Brunch.
Brunch. Okay. See, yeah. Interesting answer. Yeah. So brunch, was there, alcohol involved? Are you drinking like Bellinis or fucking Bloody Marys or what's going on?
I think I had a few mimosas. Okay. I know I definitely have mimosas, but not too many. He had a couple drinks, and I'm trying to think, like, after, because the first half of our date was at brunch, having a few drinks, having food. I was set that when I parked, I love chocolate strawberries, and I parked in front of this place that sold them. And I walked into the date like, I don't care how this date goes. If it goes good, I'm getting chocolate strawberries. If it doesn't, at least I get chocolate strawberries at the end. Like, that was my mentality. And so after, I was like, I'm going to go get these chocolate strawberries. And he's like, I'm going to come with you. And I was like, really? Okay. We've already been here for 3.5 hours, but sure. Wow. And he walked over with me and he bought my strawberries and he sat there until I had to go home, and he would have stayed all night. Like, it was just, yeah, it was just very easy.
Wow. A Saturday brunch. What a ballsy fucking move. Not even a Sunday brunch.
I know.
I love this. Okay. So then, You're driving home, you're smashing the chocolate covered strawberries, right? So you guys separated then that day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. He goes home, you go home. And then does he text that same day? Does he wait another 7? What happens?
No, he texted me right away. I think
he texted me
right away. Like, probably, I'm assuming it was one of those, like, text me when you get home. Let me know you're okay. And then we just kept talking. There was never a gap. He never tried to play it cool. Like, that is what I want to emphasize when people are like, how do I know if he likes me? You will know. There was not a single second any time in our relationship or when he was pursuing me that I wondered if he liked me, what he wanted, what he was looking for, how he felt about me. Like, it was from the moment we got to that date to the moment right now in our relationship. He made it very apparent.
So he never pulled any lost weekend moves where he just disappeared on a Friday and showed back up on a Monday. Okay. All right.
Absolutely not. He saw me as often as I would let him. Like, there, I knew he really liked me when I went home to visit my family maybe 2 weeks after our first date. Mm-hmm. And I was with my sister and he's like, I'll pick you guys up from the airport, LAX. And I'm like, you really don't have to do that. We already have a ride. Her friend's picking us up. Don't worry. He's like, no, I want to see you. Like, please let me pick you up. And I'm like, damn, this motherfucker wants to come out to LAX at like 9:30 at night when he does not have to, just to see me. And then on top of that, he showed up again. This is before he was like my boyfriend officially or anything. He still has it. He made this poster sign that said, welcome home, Allie. Like, he actually went to like Office Depot, got like a poster board like you get when you're in middle school for a presentation, got letter stickers, and literally put them one by one, welcome home, Allie. And then on the back side, he did like, welcome home, Allie and Co., like company. Right. Because my sister was there and he didn't want to make her feel left out. So he's like, this is the side for when you have people with you. And this is when it's just you. And he came out and was just holding it. And it was so sweet. I'm like, oh my God, this guy really likes me.
Okay. So that wasn't corny. That was, he pulled it off somehow. Okay. Wow.
So all sweet. Right. So sweet.
Yeah. Cause I feel like some women, if that happened, they'd be like, oh, okay, that's a lot or whatever, but maybe they're looking for different things or something. But like, there is a way to be yourself and pull something off. I was just having this conversation with my girlfriend, and I forget what we were talking about, but it was something that normally would be kind of corny, right? Or kind of like clingy. for a girl or a guy, but like the way one of us went about it, it was like really kind of confident in our shit. And it like came across as like horny and lovely and, mm-hmm. and loving and whatever. So it sounds like that's what happened here.
Can I touch on that real quick?
Of course.
So one, yes. Just first of all, yes. It reminds me of something an ex told me, and I will stand by what he said forever. He always said, if a girl likes him, it's cute. If she doesn't like him, it's creepy. Like, simple as that. If another guy would have done that, I would have been like, this fucking weirdo. Like, we've been on two dates. Like, he is so, like, but no, I just liked him a lot. But like you're saying too, the confidence, that's the other aspect, because you can feel if a guy's really anxious and if he's like desperate, if he is like, if he's doing too much, you can feel, and it's kind of a gross energy, because you kind of feel like he would do that with any girl, where it doesn't feel like it's about you. He just like wants somebody. And so he's going above and beyond, and you can feel this like weird energy around it, and it makes it not attractive. Yeah. But I knew I could feel the confidence in him, like you were saying, where I knew he's not doing this with any other girl. And he probably has never, I know he hasn't now, but like I could feel that he had never done that with anybody else. This was a guy who just really liked me and mm-hmm. wasn't willing he was willing to look like a fool to like yeah. put his heart out there, I guess. And you can feel when it's confident versus when it's desperate. And women can always pick up on that, I think.
Yeah. And I think some people listening right now might be thinking, oh, well, I'm fucked. I'm not confident. I've never been able to pull something. I could never do that. So I'm going to go back to what Ali said earlier. And that is fucking fake it till you make it, y'all. Right. And if you embody that energy, that you are confident, you're going to die on this hill, right? But it's your hill, and you're the man, or you're the woman. You're going to fucking whatever. You're going to do that corny thing. You're that fun thing. And if the person doesn't like it, fuck them. Like, if you can just actually fake that and just believe that and go with it, there is actually no difference that in between like actually having the confidence and faking it. Cause guess what? You have it now. So like you pulled the thing off. So I do think there is something to that being comfortable enough to potentially look like a fucking idiot, right? Like I always used to say, it's not a party until someone's willing to look like an idiot. And here we are, right? And so there is a power in putting yourself out there that I think people, and I don't know if it's because like the internet, like, you know, it's easy to do it from behind a screen, but in person, like it's gotten harder, I think, for people to really show up and do the silly things and like make the fucking, you know, dad joke or whatever it is, right? I feel like, I mean, you must work with your clients on things like that and how to really be mm-hmm. yourself and be accepting of someone else being themselves.
Yeah, because I mean, you also have to know your audience, you know, and by audience, the person you're dating, like, look for context clues. Like, I doubt he would have done that if I was like really standoffish, if I was being really short with him in our text, if I wasn't showing interest and desire. Like, you will look like a crazy person if mm-hmm. if it's not being reciprocated on some level energetically. And so that is a really important part, is just having that awareness that, is this the right time? Is this the right person? Like,
sure.
It takes a little bit of like emotional maturity in that sense too. But yeah, I work with people in confidence all the time, because at the end of the day, if the person leaves, they're not your person. Like, that is my full belief, 1,000% through and through. I don't care if you feel like they were the one that got away. No, they weren't. They weren't the one if they left. Like, I don't care under what circumstances they left, or they chose to not call you back. They ghosted you. They cheated on you. If they are not in your life right now by choice, they're just like, they're not for you. And so you have to learn to be the most confident version of yourself, because that's the true version of who you are. Anything else is not authentic, and they can't even fall in love with you because you're not even being you. So how do we learn to like honor those parts within ourselves? Because that's what's magnetic. Like, that's what I think why I got, I mean, I was pretty good at like getting dates, I would say, and getting a lot of second dates and like mm-hmm. things just kind of like working out for me in dating in general before I found my fiance. And I think a huge part of that, and it's not just assumption, like people I dated told me this and reflected it back to me in some way, was that I was really confident and I was myself, and I wasn't, you know, going into these dates like, I hope he likes me. What is he going to think of me? I didn't give a fuck. Like, I'm Allie. And if Allie does not vibe with you, then you're not for Allie. That's okay. And because of that, I think a lot of people really did like me and showed a lot of interest in me and like pursued me and stuff. And that's what I want to teach people how to do, because it's not just like, I'm so special and so unique that like men are that interested in me. No, like I just learned how to embody my true self. And I feel like everybody deserves to feel that comfortable and confident in being themselves, because that version of you is the most magnetic.
Well, I mean, yeah, right. So what does Taylor Swift say? She says, the trash always takes itself out. So then there we are, right? Because you're right. What if you have to fake some shit with a partner to get them to be your partner? It's borderline con job hostage situation kind of a thing. And eventually, you know, you're gonna wanna play with your action figures, or you're gonna wanna fucking not wear a bow tie or whatever weird thing you're doing to try to attract someone. If the relationship moves forward based on a lie, then all of a sudden, you know, when you're watching anime, I don't know why I keep going to like these hobbies or whatever, but like whatever it is you're doing, he sees it and all of a sudden he's like, what the fuck is that? I hate that, or whatever. Well, you put yourself in that position. So I think it is a confidence game. It's definitely a confidence game. And I think it is difficult for people to get to a point where they're like, I'm Allie, fuck it, whatever. You know, like besides fake it till you make it, I mean, do you have any other pointers on how to really be confident? And I know you're going to say, just be yourself. And that's fine. You can say that because that's what I believe too. But systematically, someone has trauma, someone has a lot of failed attempts at like, they really do want a relationship, but they, you know, keep meeting a-holes. Like, how do they find that confidence like you did, where it's like, fuck this, fuck you, I'm me, let's go to brunch?
Yeah, no, I think like on a practical level, one of my tips for confidence would be like, build up skill sets. It like does not have to do with dating or relationships at all, but get something, like get a hobby, get something that has to do with work, something for fun, anything where you feel really good. Like, even if you want to learn how to play piano, go learn how to fucking do piano and like take some piano lessons, become a badass. That inherently builds up your confidence, because realistically we need something to be confident about. Like, I am not of the mindset where like we can all just be confident where we're at right now. A lot of people can't. And I don't think that everybody needs to be, because if we're lying to ourselves, it's kind of like, it's going to sound bad, but I'm just going to put it out there. I have a lot of mixed feelings about things like the body positivity movement. This is a very controversial take, but anyone that I've told this to, they actually agree with it. So I'm just throwing it out there that I'm all about body positivity. Like, I will say that I think it's wonderful. I think we should all love ourselves and our bodies where we're at. But because of that, a lot of people, at least clients I've worked with, people I've known, they feel a sense of shame when they want to lose weight or they want to get healthy, because the movement saying you have to stay as you are and love yourself as you are, or there's something wrong with you. You don't love yourself enough. And that really fucks with people's heads, in my experience. And so it's kind of like that mentality where people are told you have to love yourself exactly as you are now and stay where you're at now, or you don't actually love yourself. You have to be confident in who you are now, or you don't love yourself and something's wrong with you. That, because I think all movements, they go to extremes at first until they get balanced out, if that makes sense. And I think that's kind of like the self-love movement is so beautiful and the body positivity movement is so beautiful, but they've gotten so extreme. And so people are having this like internal resistance, like, what's wrong with me for not loving myself so much and thinking my body's perfect and thinking everything about me is perfect? Like, I think that's a very flawed like mindset system. And so if you're, I don't know, if you're really depressed and you don't have a job and you haven't exercised in a long time and your friendships are falling apart and you're not proud of, you know, where you're at, you're 32 years old and you're like super in debt and you're not where you thought you'd be, you probably, it would be unhealthy for you to have confidence right now, because that would keep you in this place in life that is not actually good for you, right? And so it's actually more beneficial in a lot of people's lives to be like, you know what? I don't have anything to be confident in right now. Where I'm at really sucks. And I need to give myself a big slap in the face and a big wake up call. And I need to make some changes. And then you take action on those things and you make the changes. So you get off of the couch, you get the job, you call up your friends, you start, you know, taking care of yourself, you start cooking more, whatever your things might need to change. And your confidence will naturally go up. You won't have to force it. You won't have to fake it. It will be a byproduct of the action you're taking. And then it will, by default, change your dating life and how you show up on those first dates. And you won't have to fake, like, I'm this confident person, love me. Like, you might just have to do it a little bit. You don't want to have to do it all the way. People can feel it. You can feel that. It's not going to benefit you long term. So I think you have to just kind of take inventory about where you're at right now. And if you know that there are some changes that need to be made, you got to do those for yourself. Because that's what self-love really is being honest with yourself.
Yeah, no, I think that's super logical. And I think basically what you said, right, was that if someone does decide to lose weight or whatever and change their appearance because it makes them happier, then they sort of get shamed for that, which is just the reverse or the same as what was happening to people who are body positive. I think everyone should be allowed to kind of mold themselves how they want to. I do think that, you know, like, and it's a whole other conversation, but like beauty standards for women and like, you know, like ripped fucking 8-pack abs for dudes. Like, you know, that's always been a thing on my mind. Like, Jesus, what happened to your abs? You know, so I get what you're saying, but like, it should be a choice. But like, I think part of it is that the culture of, you know, perfection and whatever, and especially with fucking social media, it just like pushes people into these places. But no, you're totally logical in that. I want to bounce back because we're getting close to the end of the episode. I'm not letting you off the hook that easy. You have a date with this gentleman on a Saturday, but then you get your strawberries. He texts you, like, or you text him and you guys text, whatever. But then did he know you had another date on Sunday, or did you just keep that to yourself?
I eventually told him. I didn't tell. Like, I will always tell people if they ask, like, are you dating anybody else? Because I'm in the belief system, this is for everybody listening, if you are single, don't act like you're in a relationship. Do not give your whole time, energy, and heart to somebody who has not committed to you. Mm-hmm. And then be honest. You don't need to be like, hey, I'm going on a date tomorrow, just so you know. But if they ask if you're dating anybody else, just fucking tell them the truth. And so I did. I don't remember when he asked me, probably within a couple of weeks, but that he asked me to be his girlfriend, I think about 3 weeks in. Mm. And that was after he knew I was dating other people until someone had committed to me. And so he did. And I, you know, cut off other people and I was happy to. But yeah, he did. He knew.
So do you think that, and I'm just going to be real direct as I always am, right? Do you think that you dating other men for 3 weeks while he's trying to court you, did you see him in those 3 weeks too? Mm-hmm. Like on and off? Okay. Do you think that then gave you sort of leverage to be like, hey, buddy, you better make a move because I'm seeing other people?
I think it could have, but I don't think that was like the main factor, I guess. Sure. It was more just like me being honest because we've all been, or I think most of us, I've been on really good dates and we're like, this is going somewhere. Mm-hmm. This is it. And then it doesn't. And so my main reason wasn't for leverage, like not in a manipulative way. It was really to be smart and to protect my heart and be like, and at the end of the day, just like the realistic aspect of it. Like, I'm not acting like I'm yours unless you are mine. And it's not like I used it in his face and made this big sassy thing. Yeah. It was just like a one-time answer. Like, yeah, I date different people until, you know, I'm in a committed relationship. And I think I can't speak for him, but I do think that was like a partial motivating factor. I don't think it was the whole thing. He would have done it either way. But I do wonder if that like sped it up a little bit because he wanted to me to not date other people, which is totally understandable. And like, and that's the difference between a guy who's serious and a guy who's not. A guy who's serious, he's going to be motivated by that information. A guy who's not serious is either not going to be motivated by it, or he's going to be upset or angry about it. And like, why are you dating? Like, I guess they'll feel very entitled to your commitment without committing to you. So I think that's a red flag for sure.
Well, no, I mean, I think it's leverage it. You know what I mean? Because I think he doesn't want you to get scooped up and taken off the market and be like, hey, I can't see you anymore. Fucking Ted took me to the museum and it's a thing. And so sorry, whatever. Right. But, okay. So 3 weeks you guys become official. Then did you have to like, when you became official, like, oh shit, hold on. Then you had to like cancel like 10 dates.
No, I didn't have that many dates going on. I only went on a couple in between that time period. And there was only one other person that I was kind of interested in. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of like fell off, you know, like we had plans, but they weren't like super set and official. And I was just kind of being a little bit shorter with him. And since he didn't like follow up again, I didn't have to have the conversation. Right. And then I just deleted my dating apps from there and made it a lot more simple. But yeah, I mean, if you do have other dates planned, you gotta like just cut them off and tell people and be honest. Sorry.
Yeah, no, there's no better feeling than fucking like murdering your dating apps. Being like, bye. I did that too. It's so empowering.
Beautiful feeling.
Yeah, it's just like you're murdering someone, but without the jail time. It's really great. Okay, so I have to ask these questions. It is sex party. Don't answer anything you're not comfortable with, right? But like, I just want to give a realistic, you know, portrayal of what's happening here. So 3 weeks, he becomes the boyfriend. Between date one with the strawberries and the fucking mimosas, right? Between date one and the 3 week mark where you guys became a couple, how long did you wait to sleep with him? And was it something you wanted to do but held back, or you just were like, fuck it, this is me, I'm in, like whatever? Because I think people have very weird sort of polar opposites of how long they should wait to sleep with someone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I waited until we were official. So that night after he asked me is when we slept together. And it was easy because that was also the first time I went to his house. I will tell you that it is a lot harder if you go over to a guy's house, and especially if you guys are having some drinks, it's going to be a lot harder to say no. But that's just a rule I tried to stick to with myself, mm-hmm. because of all the, I think I've talked about this on an episode before, but you have so much oxytocin, especially for women, that's released, and you will start to have stronger feelings for them without your own consent. So I that was just, yeah, a rule I really tried to stick to. So later that night is when we did, and it felt so much better than like when I've been with other people and I did it before commitment. Because it just feels different when you know somebody is committed to you and like you guys are on the same page, rather than sleeping with somebody and wondering, does he like me? How much does he like me? Is this going anywhere? Like you don't get in your head after, because there's nothing to get in your head about. So you can actually be more present.
No, that's incredible that night. I mean, that's spectacular. And like, it must have made you at least feel, well, him too, like feel great about the sex, because then it's like, it's the first time it's happening. Obviously it didn't suck. There's a fucking ring on your finger. That's great. Right. So how long until he proposed? Did you have an idea this was coming? Was this someone something you truly, really wanted? Were you shocked? Was it corny? Did he have a sign? Tell me all the things about the proposal.
So coincidence, this is total coincidence, but it was exactly 9 months after our first date. It was Christmas Day. And I definitely knew it was coming because we already had a wedding booked. I know it's very backwards and it's everybody off. So one of my best friends, her and her husband are wedding photographers. And they had told us we knew we wanted to get married. This is something we talked about basically from the beginning, because at the end of our third date, he was dropping me off at home and he was in the car and he's so cute. And he was like, he was so nervous. He's like, I don't just see you being my future girlfriend, but I can see you being my future wife. And I was like, me too. And he was like, wait, you see that too? And I was like, uh-huh. And I freaked out internally for the next 3 days. And I was like, oh my God, I had to avoid self-sabotaging. It was a whole thing. So we both knew from the beginning where this was going. And that's why we were both freaked out, because it was like, it was just like a done deal. Right. But we booked the wedding, right after Thanksgiving. And so I had known even outside of that, like he was going to propose in the next couple of months. We've been living together since the summer. We moved in together maybe like 4 or 5 months into our relationship. He's my best friend. Like, we knew where it was going, but right. I didn't know exactly when or how he was going to do it. But we were in conversation about it. And I was like, I just want to throw this out there that this would be really special to celebrate with my family, because we're already doing this ourselves. Like, the engagement didn't feel like a huge step, I guess, for us, but I know how much it would mean to my parents, to my grandparents. So I threw that out there, didn't know if he was going to run with it or not. I'm like, you know me best. You make a decision based on what you think is going to make me happiest. And Christmas morning, because he was like, I just figured you wouldn't want anything cheesy. I'm like, I told you I don't want Disneyland or like the Eiffel Tower. Like, no, I don't want cheesy, but like something special, you know, like that. And so Christmas morning, he did it in front of the tree with my family there. And half my family knew, apparently. He had told them and they were so excited. The joke is that my mom said yes before I did, which I think is a thing, because I wasn't like shocked. I didn't cry. I was kind of hoping I would cry, but I didn't. I guess I just kind of saw it coming too much, but I was still surprised. I didn't know he was going to do it that day. And it's been nice because we've been engaged for maybe like 3 weeks now, something like that. And it's funny because I tell him and he feels the same way. It's not crazy to say we're engaged. That feels natural. It's crazy to think I'm engaged. Like, Allie's engaged? Like, what the fuck? I'm an adult. Like, I'm really done with dating. Like, it feels different in that sense, which is, mm-hmm. is really cool.
Okay, so wait, a couple questions. He proposed mm-hmm. in front of the fam?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, and your mom shouted out yes?
Yep, my mom loves him to death.
Oh my God, that's so amazing. Okay, two, you're putting Disneyland and the Eiffel Tower in the same level of corniness for proposal destinations?
100%, 100%.
Okay.
I cannot. I've seen too many, because we live like 5 minutes away from Disneyland,
yeah.
and I have 100% seen Disneyland proposals in front of the castle and literally want to shoot myself.
Like, yeah, well, I mean, I would concur with that. They're both kind of corny. I think you need to find something that works for you that's subtle and whatever. Okay, so you're engaged. When is this? Is it coming up? Is it soon?
October 13th.
Wow.
So we have like 10 months, 9 months. I have thought 0% about it.
It's all right.
We have it booked. There's a lot of work kind of that needs to go into it, but I hired a venue that does it all for me. I just want to show up. I want to have cute pictures and wear a pretty dress and drink and dance. And that's it. I don't want to plan it. So I'm not the girl who's like dreamed of her wedding her whole life. I've actually sure. never done that.
Sure.
So I don't even know. I don't even know what I'm doing.
Well, we love an October wedding. It's not too hot, right? Because yep. those people yep. in August are just dying in those fucking things, right?
Yep.
Whatever. So congratulations there. That's amazing. Yep. You did mention something about sex and having a ring on your finger. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you take that and run with that. Like, you know, I'll set up the question for you. But, you know, spoiler alert, y'all, we already talked about this before we started recording. I think this is really important. But, like, you wanted to talk about how different sex feels with having a ring on your finger. So.
Yeah. So it's funny because I will preface this with my fiance. He came up to me. I was, like, getting ready right before we were recording. And it's so funny because this isn't usually like him. But he was like, you should say on the podcast, because he knew it was called Sex Party. He's like, you should say how much better sex is with a ring on your finger. And I was like, okay, I'll touch on it briefly and, you know, whatever. And I will say, and that's coming from him. He's not just saying it for me, that our sex life was already really good, mm-hmm. but it has dramatically improved because of like the mental aspect. Like, I have never seen this man more turned on than when we have sex while he sees my ring, because it's like the knowing, like the visual that I am yours forever. I have committed to you. And I think it's important to talk about, because one, people assume that committed sex is like boring and it's not as exciting, whatever. That's first of all out the window. But second of all, like, people really assume that with men, that men don't want that. Like, maybe some men don't, but typically, at least with my clients, it's not the kind of men that we're looking for. There's something to it when you, and even for me as the woman wearing a ring, like, it's like the visual of like it's like symbolic of this man is literally choosing me. It's not just talk. You know, I've had people say it in the past. We've all, you know, been in relationships that didn't work out where people said it, but like, oh shit, this is like the symbolism that like, this is us. Like we're a fucking team. We're doing this to the day we die. Oh my God. And so even if you're not consciously thinking it during sex, it's like this unconscious realization. And so it's been, yeah, it's been, we didn't know it was going to change anything, but it definitely has for the best.
Well, that's fucking awesome. I mean, this whole thing is fucking awesome. Very happy for you. Last question, right? Mm-hmm. How has this experience, how you guys met, how you went through all of your turmoil and all your things, right, with dating and relationships and, you know, there's a lot of fucking weasels out there, we'll say, on both sides, women and men. Mm-hmm. And so you navigated all that, and here you are, you know, well, I don't know, 6-7 months away from being married, right? You have a ring on your finger, the hot sex, all of it, whatever. How do you think this experience, or how has this experience affected how you are a dating and confidence coach? I mean, have you noticed a difference in your work, and what do you foresee for the future with that?
I love that question. Two things come to mind. Number one, I am even more sure of myself, if that makes sense. And I've noticed my clients, same thing. Like I've never seen people be so happy for someone to be engaged as my clients have been for me. And one of them put it so well the other day. She's like, I think it's because we now see that what you teach us really does work. Mm-hmm. You know, she's like, we believed it before, we felt it, we knew, but now we really know. And so now I feel like I'm even more of an advocate for not settling. I had a list, I swear to you, it's somewhere in a journal. I have a 5-page list of what I wanted in a future husband. And I had a therapist tell me one time that like, that's a lot, Allie. He's like, yeah, not for my future husband. I read it to my fiance one day, maybe like 2 months ago. And he was like, did you design me? Did you make me? And I was like, yep, manifested the shit out of you. And so now I'm even more of a believer in the things that I'm teaching, that I'm not crazy. And then the other half is teaching my clients even more so about like self-love, I think, and becoming more securely attached, because a lot of my clients come to me with anxious attachment and we work through that. I would not be in the relationship I'm in now if I didn't have the relationship with myself that I do. That is far more of a success story. Like my relationship with me and the love I have with me feels like a much bigger success story than my relationship with my fiance. Because like, this is the real work. This is the real journey. And this is what led me here. And at the end of the day, even if something were to happen to us or something happens to him, God forbid, like I still have me. And that is so important. So that's the work that I want to do even more than I already did with my clients, because it really builds the foundation for a healthy relationship.
Allie McDonald, congratulations to you. Congratulations to your fiance. Let's remind all these people who are tearing up now at the end of the episode where they can find you online. They can work with you. They can retain your services. They could send you money for your wedding. They could send you yes, toasters and electric knives. I mean, where can people find you?
Oh my God. Yeah. If you want to send me money and gifts, please, I will always say yes to that. But you can find me on Instagram or TikTok at Dating with Allie. Allie is A-L-Y. And then recently I've been offering a free dating workshop that I have. So I can send you the link. You could put it in the show notes. It's sure, a psychology-based dating workshop that all the strategies that I use with myself to get to where I'm at, to attract the partner that I have, but also a lot of the foundational strategies I teach to my clients to become the best version of themselves so they can attract a new type of partner, break the old dating habits that have been leading to situationships and things not working out. So if you want to get that free workshop, I will also send that over.
Amazing. Yes, it will be in the show notes on YouTube, in the podcast form. So guys, go do that. Allie, thank you so much for being here for your third time. I can't wait for the fourth. But you know, thank you so much for everything that you've walked us through today, and congratulations again.
Thank you so much.
Big thank you and congratulations to my guest, Allie McDonald. Make sure you guys go check out everything she is doing. Work with her. She clearly knows what she is doing. You will see Allie again on the show. If you guys are loving guests like Allie, if you want to see Allie again, you're listening to this on platforms like Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, iHeart, wherever, right? You want to show some love. You want to show some appreciation, some desire for more Sex Party. You need more Sex Party. What can you do? You could leave a rating. You could leave a review. More important than that, you want to subscribe to the show. That's the most important part. You want to subscribe because there's a new episode of Sex Party every single Wednesday forever without fail. And you want to make sure that you are able to get to those episodes before anybody else. So you know all the secrets. If you're watching on YouTube, when you were young, were you more of a mousetrap person or did you play Twister? If you're watching on YouTube, I love you. I see you. I appreciate you so much. If you're watching on YouTube, you could like this video. You could leave a comment. But again, most importantly, make sure you subscribe to the channel. New episodes every Wednesday. You guys can always catch me in the DMs on Instagram. And I will see you all right back here next week.
Thanks for listening. The party continues next week. Click subscribe and let's make this a regular thing. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter @SexPartyFM. Follow Dustin @DustinRibka.